Well, happy Memorial Day weekend, everybody. This is such a time of celebration, Memorial Day weekend, and we celebrate the kickoff to summer, and it's a weekend of having barbecues and beach parties and picnics and spending time out of doors, which for me is cause for celebration in and of itself, just being able to be outside and do those things. Well, Memorial Day officially began in the year 1860. It began in the wake of the Civil War, and it was called Decorations Day. It was a day where people would go and throw flowers on the graves of those soldiers who had died while fighting in war. It was a way of celebrating and honoring them. And so on Memorial Day, here still today, it is an occasion to honor and celebrate all of those who have fought and all of those who have died in the name of our country, in fighting for the good of our country. And so today, in honor of Memorial Day, not only would I like to honor all of those who have passed, but I would also like to honor and to give thanks for all of those people throughout history who have made a contribution, who have given of themselves in a way that has made this world a better place, in a way that has made our lives better, in a way that has made our lives easier. Because indeed we are standing on the shoulders of numerous people that have come before us, that have raised the level of our living, who have paved the way for us to be able to do things in this world. We are standing on the shoulders that have made life so different than it would have been had on this planet. Is that me? I'm not sure why. So I personally feel so grateful to so many people who have made such a difference in this world, whose shoulders I stand on, and who have made contributions, large and small, in my life. And so I'd like to actually share some of those people to whom I'm grateful for. And I'm going to begin with Thomas Edison, who designed the light bulb and who brought electricity and its distribution to the people, because how grateful I am to be able to do whatever it is that I want at home that I could do during the daylight hours that I can now do at night. Grateful for the lights and to be able to watch TV and to go see movies at the movie theater and to be able to use the computer and to have a microphone here to talk to you, all because of the distribution of electricity and of light bulbs. I am so grateful for that in my life. I am also grateful to Benjamin Moggin, who you probably don't know who he is. He is the one who invented the water heater. How grateful I am to not have to take cold showers. How grateful I am to not be heating water to bathe in every day. I am really grateful to Teddy Roosevelt, who is the one that put the National Park System together and set aside the most beautiful places in this country so that they would always be available. I don't know why I'm knocking. I don't know what that's about. So that they would always be available. Yeah, I wonder if it's this coming apart. I don't know. Yeah, it's this. Turn me off for just a second. Better? Can you hear me? Am I not on now? There I am. Okay. Who put the National Park System together? Because that is one of the things that feeds me more than anything in this entire world, is to go to be out in nature, especially in places that are so incredibly beautiful like the national parks in this country. I am grateful to the suffragettes who worked for decades so that women would have the right to vote, and how women having the right to vote has changed the world so much for the betterment of women, but I'm sure for the betterment of everybody, because we have a different perspective and we brought that to the world. I'm grateful to Martin Luther King Jr., who fought for equal rights and for social justice, because I believe he paved the way for all of us to have equal rights for everybody in this country, and how important that is. I am so grateful to Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of this philosophy, and how much that has changed my life by enabling me to recognize that I am always at choice, that I am never held back by my past circumstances or by my history or what society or my family tells me that is available to me, that I always get to choose, and I get to choose again, and I get to choose again, that there is no limitation, and what freedom that has given me and how different I am today because I know that. That I know that that infinite one is always where I am and that I can tap into that within me. And that has allowed me to grow and to expand and to be a different person. And I am so grateful to my Grandma Margot, who was the one person that taught me that I could believe in myself and be what I wanted to be. And so I honor and recognize and celebrate all of those people on this Memorial Day weekend, as well as those soldiers who gave their life, because all of them have made a difference in my world. And so I think Memorial Day weekend then is the perfect time to memorialize those people in our lives who have made a positive impact, who have made a positive impact for us individually and collectively as a society and as a world in our lives. I think it's the perfect time also to remember and to recognize that spirit is forever unfolding itself and evolving as humanity, and how these particular people in our lives and in our worlds have been such fabulous depictions of that evolution of spirit, of that unfolding, the greater yet to be through society and through them. And because we are spiritual beings, we have a need to be in gratitude. We have a need to recognize those blessings in our lives and the blessings in the world. We have a need to recognize the good and to notice it and to feel our gratitude. We know there is so much negativity out there in the media and in the world. We need to come back home within ourselves, and part of that being back home is knowing the good and feeling the good and reveling in that good and celebrating that good. And so Eric Butterworth, in the book David read from today, Spiritual Economics, says gratitude is a requisite for high level wellness. When we feel our gratitude, it gives us a sense of wellness and well-being. It changes our vibration. So both being in gratitude and recognizing the good that's in our lives makes life better. It expands our experience of the good that's in our life. It opens us to even more good. And it opens our hearts, which then places us in the flow that is always present. We're always present in that flow of good, but when we recognize it, we move back into it. When we're only focused on the negative, we are resistant to that good, and we stop that flow from flowing into our lives. And because of that law of attraction, when we're focused on our blessings, when we're focused on how grateful we are, that attracts more to us because it is of like vibration. And so Eric Butterworth also says, thanksgiving is not just a reactionary emotion. It is a causative energy. He says, the grateful heart actually opens the way to the flow and becomes an attractive force to draw to itself great things. So my question to you is, to whom are you grateful? Who are you grateful for that has made a contribution to this world or to your individual life that has benefited you, that has benefited the world that you're grateful for? Can you think of someone? I'd like you to share that with us. And Ray, I forgot to tell you that I was going to take this mic out here today. Let's hope we have a long cord. We have a short cord. So who will share with me? Who are you grateful for?
I'm grateful for you, Jennifer, because this philosophy has changed my life totally. And getting back into it, you gifted me with an invitation. And so glad that we came. And definitely feel gratitude for the world and all of you. I realize how much I miss you when I'm gone for a few weeks. So thank you.
You're welcome. Who else will share who they're grateful for?
I'm grateful for my husband, Edward. I was searching for a long, long time for the right spiritual path. And when I met Edward, he helped me very much find that path and has taught me so much that totally resonates with me. And, of course, with all of you guys, you're wonderful. Thank you for welcoming us.
Oh, thank you. Who else will come up here and share?
I'm grateful for Barbara.
Oh, that's nice. Me too.
Yeah, I think we can all agree with that one. Gosh, I guess two things come to mind. One is, for me, Gandhi was always so powerful for bringing that idea of nonviolent protest, and just that you could disagree and could fight for something without actually harming other people. And then my mom always, she taught me about empathy and compassion. And she also taught me that chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Mm-hmm. And I always applied that to society, and that gave me compassion and empathy, I think, for everybody and for the world. So I thank my mom, and of course you as well, for creating this wonderful space.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
I'll get behind her.
Okay, come on, Yvonne. Yeah, come on up. We want to hear from lots of you.
I'm grateful for being a mom because it's taught me to be selfless, to protect, to nurture, and then let go. And that's what's hard, is to trust enough to say, I did my job, now go on to society and be as good as I know that you can be.
I stand in a lot of gratitude that I can be grateful for my parents. I didn't really know how blessed I was for a lot of years. So I'm grateful now that I've turned around and recognized that. And of course, I'm grateful for my wife and my life and my kids and all that normal stuff that people are grateful for. And there was one fabulous teacher in my life by the name of Laverne McWilliams, who was a school child psychologist, who caught me at a time in my life where I was very abusive towards my children and turned me around. So I'm very grateful for her.
Thank you. And this is Reese, if you haven't met Reese yet.
And we are grateful for all of the mothers and those who taught us how to mother.
Wow.
And in particular, my grandmother, who taught me to be a chameleon, be adaptable, and that circumstances are like clothes. I can put them on and take them off, and they don't define who I am. So those mothers.
Mm-hmm. Who else?
I am thankful for Mrs. Cole and Mrs. Dorn and Mrs. Chrisman and Mrs. Seminario and Mr. Langton and Mr. Arms and Mrs. Summers, who were my kindergarten, first, second, third, fourth, and fifth grade teachers, my PE teacher, and the principal, who obviously impacted my life greatly. My school was amazing to me. It was a block away from my house. There were five of us in the same grade that walked to school and played afterwards and cleaned the erasers after school.
Chalkboards.
From the chalkboards. And these people saw me and supported me and encouraged me to be creative and smart and strong and athletic and different, and myself. And it was an amazing gift, and I think I realized it as a kid and have just grown to appreciate it more as an adult. So I know that that is not just my own experience, and thank you, teachers, and everybody who has supported me and other kids for being who they are.
Nice. Thank you. Anyone else? Is your heart full?
Yes.
Wow. That's really nice. And so, like I said, recognizing all of that good that fills our lives changes our vibration, and then we attract more that is like that same vibration into our lives. And so the title of my talk today is Leaving Breadcrumbs, because certainly all of those people that we just named have left breadcrumbs as a path for us to follow, as if they have shown us the way and said, follow this, this is the path. And how blessed we are for all of them, the people that we don't know that have made such an impact on our world, and the people that we do know personally that have made an impact on us as we've grown up, and just in our adult lives even. And the second thing that happens when we recognize all of those gifts that people have given to this world and given to us, and when we celebrate those shoulders that we stand upon, and when we celebrate those contributions that people have made and that they've made the world better, is it inspires us to do the same thing. It inspires us to make a difference for the people that are in our lives today, and it inspires us to make this a better world for people behind us. It inspires us to be those tall shoulders by making a difference so other people can stand on our shoulders because we've made the world different. I have a friend, Patsy, who has been a huge inspiration to me. And one of the ways that she has done that is she's probably 15 years older than I am. And so she's kind of an adopted aunt of mine. And one of the things that has made a huge impact is the way that she treats people. You all, I'm sure, if you've been around, you know that I grew up in this household where I learned really well to judge everybody. Everybody was either better than I was or lower than I was. Everybody got judged. One of the things that she does, she treats everyone equally. It doesn't matter if you are a server in a restaurant or if you're the president of a company or if you're cleaning the bathroom at the restaurant, wherever you are, it doesn't matter. Everyone she treats with respect and with kindness and with care and with interest, seeing them as a person. And that has been a huge example to me. So I feel like I stand on her shoulders today because I'm different in the world for the example that she has been for me. Recognizing those things that people have done inspires us to live with a sense of purpose, knowing that our actions create an effect in this world, a lasting effect. They inspire us to bring our best selves into the world. They inspire us to be good examples for other people and to take care of our environment and to nurture healthy relationships and healthy dynamics because they've modeled that kind of behavior. I also remember when I was in my late 20s and doing therapy and remember recognizing the incredible dysfunction and especially dysfunctional communication that went on in my family and deciding it stops here. I'm stepping out of that and making that different. So I feel like one of the things that I have learned, I'm not an expert at it certainly, but I've learned and practiced is healthy communication and taking responsibility for my part in something and having honest communication about it and making amends and that kind of stuff. So I feel like I am leaving that legacy behind me. Because I know I've been an example for people in the world of how to communicate in a healthy way like that because they've shared that with me. And I know that that then influences how they are in the world. Looking at, noticing, being grateful for those people that have gone before us inspire us to do things that can benefit humankind at large. And so I think looking at those people invites us to ask ourselves, what is it that I have to contribute to this world? What is it that I can bring to the world that will make a difference when I look at Thomas Edison or the person that invented the hot water heater or Gandhi or Martin Luther King? What can I, in my own way, with my own personality and skills and attributes, what can I contribute to this world to leave a legacy, to make this a better place? Not just for today and the people that are around me, but for generations to come. And so I have a story that I would like to share with you, and it says, Johanna Hayes always knew she wanted to be a teacher, but she didn't always believe that she could be one. She grew up surrounded by poverty and drugs and violence in the fading industrial city of Waterbury, Connecticut. But she loved school, and her teachers told her she could someday go to college. Even when she became pregnant at 17, her teachers refused to give up on her. They showed her how she could continue her education. She graduated from high school and 7 years later enrolled in a community college. She went on to earn a four-year degree, and then she realized her dream. She became a high school history teacher in the same town where she grew up. For the past decade, she has worked with her student at Waterbury's John F. Kennedy High School. She worked to give her students at John F. Kennedy High School the same hope and passion and confidence that her teachers once gave her. She has pushed them to think beyond the classroom, contributing to their communities through volunteer and service projects. Her students regularly participate in fundraisers for cancer and autism research, and they volunteer for Habitat for Humanity. Serving others shows her students that no matter how difficult their own background is, they can help people. She says, they are empowered. I see students who lack confidence, who have no self-efficacy, who really think they have nothing valuable to give. I see them emerge as leaders. Over time, I see them wanting to do better, wanting to be better. I see that over and over again. And she has been successful, so successful that in 2016, she was just named National Teacher of the Year. Isn't that incredible? The honor will be wonderful for Johanna, but her real reward is in the thousands of lives that she has changed through teaching and mentoring, she says. And that has no equivalent to teaching and mentoring and helping and making a difference. We are called to do that in this world, to make a difference. And when we recognize those other people who are making a difference and who have made a difference, it inspires us to do the same thing. So my invitation to you is to stop grumbling about all the stuff that's going on in the world that is negative, because God knows there is a lot of it. Instead of grumbling, to focus on the gratitude for all of the amazing things that you have in your life, all of the amazing gifts that you have been given from other people and the acts and the contributions that they have made in this world, to be grateful for all of those things that you have in your life and those things that people have brought into the world. Because like I said, like attracts like. Ernest Holmes speaks of that in the Science of Mind textbook. He says, every person is surrounded by a thought atmosphere. The mental atmosphere is the direct result of his conscious and unconscious thought, which in turn becomes the direct reason for and cause of that which comes into his life. Through this power, we are either attracting or repelling. Put your focus on what you want to attract, what you want to experience more of, what you want to be in this world. And so be in consciousness what you want to see. Be the example that you want other people to live and to follow. Be in gratitude for all of those blessings in your life and let those things inspire you to do more. And so on this Memorial Day, I invite you to celebrate all of the good in recognition of these soldiers that have passed, but also all of those millions of people who have made a difference in your own life and in this world, and celebrate that also on this Memorial Day. And as a result, you'll be in that experience of love and of joy and of gratitude and of blessing, experiencing the fullness of this life, open to that good and inspired to be that good. And so thank you each for walking this path and for making a difference in this world and for bringing your spirit, the spirit of that infinite one, into this lifetime that makes a difference for everyone. I thank each one of you. Blessings to you. And so I invite you to join me in affirmative prayer. And so how good it is to be in this place of remembering, this place that my soul longs to inhabit, to remember that, yes, indeed, I am immersed in this one. That infinite presence of love and of peace and of good and that bounty of infinite potentiality is always right where I am. That it is carrying me and buoying me and compelling me forward in this life. For my life is that life of the divine, and it is that one presence that is unfolding itself through each and every single one of us as this life that we are living. As the gifts of ourself that we bring to this world, as inspiration and creativity and connectivity and oneness and love and all of the good that there is, we are simply conduits for this presence in the world. And so therefore, I know that all that God is always right where we are. All of the love, all of the peace, all of the wholeness, and the intelligence, and the wisdom, and the power, and the beauty, and the glory, and the magnificence, that it is right here. And so we revel in this truth today, knowing that as we recognize it, we bring it forward in a grander way into this world, and into our own lives, and into our felt experience. And so we marinate in this truth, and in this presence, knowing that even as we leave here, we walk in that presence today, that we walk in it and with it and as it everywhere that we go in this life. And so what a blessing it is to be conduits for that one. And so I know that this is not just the truth about us, but it is the truth about every single person on this planet. That God right now is unfolding itself through every individual as good and greater good, as love and unity and oneness and beauty and magnificence. That this is the presence and the power of God here in humanity. And so today we see this and we claim this and we call this forward and we feel it and we know it, knowing that this activates the law and makes it even more real. And so I give thanks for this recognition of this truth and recognition of this presence. I also recognize right here and right now that that love intelligence is revealing itself as clarity of thinking and clarity of ideas in every single politician and world leader, unfolding itself within them as the truth of the oneness of humanity, of the oneness of everything, and as love, for love is the ultimate power, and that is having its way now. And so we lean into love and know that that is our truth. And so I release this prayer in gratitude, saying thank you, God, for all of the good. And so I let it go, and so I let it be, and so it is. Amen.